Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, August 3rd, 2020. This morning I will talk more about Shalom. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. O Lord, to be more like you, strong and wise and patient and peace-loving. Oh, to be a covenant keeper, dependable and steady, a pillar against the wind. Oh, to offer mercy and grace and patience and love and truth to all who come near, hospitality in a desert, peace amidst confusion, security when uncertainty tears at the soul. Oh, Lord, to be more like you, to be more like you. Remember us, Lord, but forget the sin that depletes our strength, leaves us foolish, makes us impatient, and creates dissension. Remember us, Lord, but forgive our transgressions. Remember us, Lord, but wipe away our iniquity that leaves us judgmental and arrogant and at odds with all things good and true. Remember us, Lord, lest we forget ourselves. In the power of your Holy Spirit, grant us a new day and the strength to live in new ways, following the example of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Isaiah 9:6 we read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Shalom, defined as completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, is a divine attribute mostly out of reach in the books of the law, where brotherly conflict, not brotherly love, was the norm. In the books of the law, conflict between Cain and Abel over proper worship was followed by conflict between Jacob and Esau over the birthright and inheritance. Later, conflict between Joseph and his brothers over their father's favoritism became so intense that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. In the ancient world, sibling conflict was considered an extreme form of treachery, much like spousal conflict is perceived today. This brotherly conflict highlights the absence of shalom and the need for divine intervention. This need for divine intervention appears even in the story of young Moses, who attempted without success to reconcile two of his Hebrew brothers, as we read in Exodus 2:11-15. One day when Moses was growing up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens and saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, two Hebrews were struggling together, and he said to the man who was in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" He answered, "Who made you a prince and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. Much like God attempted to reconcile Cain and Abel, Moses attempted to reconcile two of his Hebrew brothers, but his effort fails because of his own sin, the sin of murder. It got in the way. In the books of the prophets, peace remains out of reach as the two dominant types of conflict emerge. The first type of conflict arose between the nation of Israel and God because they repeatedly disobeyed the Mosaic covenant as anticipated in Deuteronomy. "And when all these things come upon you, the blessings and the curses which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey the voice that I have commanded you today with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you." This is Deuteronomy 30:1-3. If the nation of Israel obeyed the covenant, that is, they practiced holiness, God promised to forgive and reunite them. However, if they ignored the covenant, God would destroy the nation and scatter the people. To remind the people of their covenant obligations, God repeatedly sent prophets, such as Jeremiah, to warn them of their sins, as we read in Jeremiah 6:12-14. Their houses shall be turned over to others, their field and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain, and from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Here greedy prophets and priests, who turn their backs on sin, lead the nation to conflict with God and judgment. In our own times, Bonhoeffer wrote of the problem of cheap grace, false forgiveness for false confession, saying, cheap grace means grace as a doctrine, a principle, a system. It means forgiveness of sins proclaimed as a general truth, the love of God taught as a Christian concept of God. By contrast, costly grace requires personal confession of sin and real discipleship. The second type of conflict is internal to the nation of Israel, where the kings more often than not behaved badly and wandered from faith in God. For example, when King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was crowned king, he was asked to reduce the heavy tax burden imposed by his father. His fathers advised him counsel to lower taxes, but his friends counseled even higher taxes. When he raised taxes, 10 tribes rebelled, leaving Rehoboam only the 2 southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The other 10 tribes formed a new kingdom called Israel, who crowned Jeroboam king of Israel. Jeroboam, who feared that people visiting Jerusalem would eventually return to Rehoboam, set up alternative worship sites and recast the new golden calf idols, actions later referred to as the sins of Jeroboam. Weakened by this split, both kingdoms were later destroyed and the people were exiled. Not only did Rehoboam divide the nation of Israel through his greed and foolishness, he later abandoned the law of Moses and was forced as a consequence to become a vassal of Shishak, the king of Egypt. Animosity between the northern and southern kingdoms continued until New Testament times, when Jews openly discriminated against Samaritans, part of the northern kingdom. Notice how conflict between the two nations quickly led to idolatry, and by inference, tension with God. Increased tension with our neighbor naturally leads to tension with God, and even with ourselves, as we strive to have our own way. The hope of deliverance from conflict in the Old Testament came in part through texts such as Isaiah 9:6-7 that link the Messiah and heaven to the idea of Shalom, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Shalom is valuable because it is rare and because it offers a glimpse of heaven as the prophet Isaiah sees it. In Isaiah 11:6 we read, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. In Isaiah's vision, an end to animal predation and the picture of a little child playing without fear among dangerous animals suggests a return to Eden and the outbreak of Shalom, a sign of God's mighty work among us. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.